for the service and for our folks. Father, we thank you for a beautiful place to worship. We thank you for this place we are in. We thank you we have a God who never changes, who is always the same. You are steadfast, unchangeable, unmovable, God. You are the one person, the one thing, God, we can always count on to always be there. And we are thankful for that, your presence. We pray for our church body, Lord. Pray for Mindy. Pray for Nate. That you just bring continued healing to their bodies today. For all those that are feeling poorly or sick, we ask your hand of healing. We pray for the service that you bless the worship and you bless the word today, that we experience you fresh today in a brand new way. We thank you for the ones that are with us today that's been gone for a while. We pray you fill their cup today and you restore them today and you strengthen them today. And we give you all praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this first song, the PowerPoints got missing somehow. I don't know, but we don't have one. But you know this song. Hadn't done it in a while. Thought it'd be a good song to kick off. It's called Praise You with the Dance. So we are here to praise the Lord. So let's worship together this morning. Okay. Yeah, y'all clap your hands. Let's clap our hands. Worship the Lord today.
Lord, I will lift my voice, for you have heard my cry. I will sing to the Lord, and I will lift my hands, for you have brought me out of the pit, for you brought me out of the pit, and I'll sing glory, hallelujah, I lift your name on high, I'll sing holy, cause you're worthy, I'll praise you in the dance, and I'll sing glory, hallelujah, I lift your name on high, I'll sing holy, cause you're worthy, I'll praise you in the dance, I will praise you in the dance.
I will lift my voice, for you have heard my cry, I will
you're worthy, I'll praise you in the dance, and I'll sing glory, hallelujah, I lift your name on high, I'll sing holy, cause you're worthy, I'll praise you in the dance.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Okay, that was totally my fault. this is our staple song, y'all. If you only knew, this song has been living word from day one, I think. And we all picture Grandma. That's what I was talking to Rodney. Can't you see Grandma dancing? Then he started looking for her. But anyway, but I can't believe I told him, I was like, it's time for you to go. And I was wrong. And we've even sung this for a funeral. Thank God we didn't mess up then. Just saying. But you know what?
Sing it for a funeral.
Yeah, for Debbie Treadway.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. Yeah. Bless him. Bless him. But you know what? This is what Living Word's all about. We're not perfect here. You know that? And that's the way God has called us, to come as we are in all of our ways, our forgetful ways, our messing up ways. And I thank God that he takes me as I am. He loves me just exactly the way I am. Amen. And if any of you have a problem with it, he designed me this way. Just saying. All right, we're going to sing Cornerstone now.
Changing grace.
all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice. It trembles at his voice.
Great is our God. Y'all can be seated this morning. Love that song. I don't need that. Thank you. Hope y'all sung along with us at home this morning and worshiped with us. And I just want to say we got it on record that my wife, Melanie, a while ago says that she was wrong. So that's on record, y'all. My wife actually said it was her fault. She was wrong. That's a rarity. Thank you. Well, wow. All righty. Well, guys, we're going to be talking this morning. The title of my message is He's Still the Same. I want to talk about this because we've had so much change in our world since March, haven't we? I mean, we've got new terminology now that everyone is using, and we've had, I actually heard a couple of politicians on some press conferences saying this week that we've got to create a new normal, that going here is going to be a new normal. Well, I'm glad that my God is always normal, and there's no changing Him. And so a lot has changed. We're hearing words that will be in our vocabulary probably for the rest of our lives, or if we don't continue it, at least it'll be talked about. You know, Ashley's 17 years old, almost 18, and she'll look back one day and tell her kids, there was a day we used a word called social distancing, to where they had X's on the floor and tape on the floor, and you had to stand there. You know, I was stopping at a convenience store the other day over in West Idaho area, and it was a little small store. I went in to get a drink and a pack of crackers or something. I stopped and had to get some gas, and I went in. It's a little tiny store, and so there's about 10 people in this store, right? And, you know, we're in line, and they had the X's and all. And I heard the cashier was so frustrated, like, they're too close together. They're too close together. Well, it's up to them if they want to get sick. And I'm like, where are we supposed to stand? The store is a spot of a dime. There's about 10 people in there. Nobody was touching nobody, but do you want me out the dumpster waiting to get my drink? I don't know where you want me because I'm in the store. And people are just, you know, this is changing things. X's and lines and... you know, you go to a restaurant, they got tables between you and the cashier. You got to stretch your card over like this to try to reach them. And it's different. Social distancing, right? Mask, gloves, do your part. We're in this together, right? We're hearing all these things that are changing. Our kids haven't been able to go to school in 2 months. You know, sporting events are closed and the courthouse is closed. Good for you criminals out there. You got a little more time to buy. But, you know, things have really changed. And I got thinking about how the world, and my parents celebrating 50 years, we talked about that on the phone yesterday. You know, Mom was sharing just how much has changed in 50 years. You heard the TV shows, the songs, you know, the price of things 50 years ago was so different. And they've seen a lot of change. And here's the one thing that hasn't changed for my mom and dad in 50 years is their faith in the Lord and who God is. The same God they took vows at an altar in 1970, is the same God in 2020. Aren't you glad God doesn't social distance Himself from us? Aren't you glad God doesn't come to us with masks and gloves, scared to touch us? But God comes to us as we are, in our fallen, broken, sickened condition, and He heals us. He's not afraid to come into our inner circle and stand right beside us and take us by the hand and lead us out of where we're at. So I got thinking about how much has changed in our world and how much is just different in our world, and how that even restaurants open back up. And by the way, they're opened up in Tennessee, Johnson City. You could go inside of a restaurant. So guess where me and Mel is going to lunch today? No, I'm just playing. No, I'm not going to Johnson City. But got some friends that went inside of a restaurant in Johnson City. They actually could go inside and dine in a restaurant. When that happens around here, they're saying it's going to be 50% capacity. So even that's going to be different for a while, right? And the waitresses and waitresses and servers are going to be wearing masks probably and all this stuff. And, you know, masks can also be bad if you're dating, right? Did you see the thing on Facebook where the girl had a mask on? She looked really pretty up here and took the mask off. Look kind of like that. So be careful if you're dating someone with a mask. You see them without the mask. Make sure you see them without the mask. Our whole world's changing, right? And I got thinking, with everything changing, I'm so glad our Savior doesn't change. And what I mean by that is in every season of our lives, He is the same. He went to the cross 2,000 years ago to die for our sins. And there is nothing going to ever change that. He redeemed us 2,000 years ago. He reconciled us back to the Father. He erased our slate and made us clean. And nothing that comes in this world is going to ever change that. He is the same Savior of 2,000 years ago that He is in 2020. Nothing has changed. Though church has changed and services have changed and people have changed, denominations have changed, He is not. His grace is the same as it's always been. He saved us,
He keeps us. He secures us. And that's not going to change. My past is forgiven. That's not going to change. My present is kept. That's not going to change. And my future is secure in Jesus, and that's not going to change. I thank God I have a Savior and a faith and a word and a covenant that doesn't change based on circumstantial things in this world. This contract I have with Jesus, signed by His blood in the Lamb's Book of Life, cannot be erased, and it cannot be altered because of sickness or disease or tragedy or poverty or anything else that comes. He doesn't change. And because of that, I can count on Him. I don't have to worry about Him divorcing me, Him dying on me, Him forsaking me or leaving me, Him being a different person in my life than He was 20 years ago. I don't have to worry about Him walking away from me or walking out of my life or ever abandoning me, because He said, "I'll never leave you." And that word "never" means never. I'll never forsake you. I'll never walk away from you. I'm yours and you're mine for all eternity. I'm thankful He doesn't change and His grace doesn't change. And what's happened with religion is we've got so many mixed up teachings, denominations that teach one thing and teach another instead of staying focused on what Paul preached, and that was Him crucified and risen. Him crucified and risen. And we have messed people up because man has stepped in, we're going to read this in a minute, trying to put other doctrine in there to override the grace covenant that Jesus has already established. And this covenant has already been established, and it can't be changed. We are under grace. We are not under works. We are under grace. We are not under religion. We are under grace. We are not under denomination. We are under grace. We are not under how many spiritual gifts we have. We are under the grace of a merciful Father who said, "You can't get there without me. So I'm stepping in and I'm taking your place and I'm putting all the wrath of the punishment upon me that you can be declared righteous." That's never going to change. Hebrews 13 says this, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And what the author is talking about in Hebrews, the yesterday is actually going back to when He was on the earth walking as our Savior. And He's saying the same Jesus that walked on the earth, that went to the cross for you, is the same Jesus today and forever. Because they were getting mixed up with different doctrines and teachings, and the author is reminding them, look, don't get caught up in these things. The same covenant you heard about, the same message of Christ you heard about, is the same message today. It's not changed because someone says, "You know what? I had a divine revelation." If it goes against the Word of God, it's a wrong revelation. I don't care who you are, what your title is, whether it's bishop, whether it's evangelist, whether it's prophet, whether it's apostle, whether it don't matter where you come from, if your revelation contradicts the Word of God, it is not the right revelation. This Word of God is unchangeable, it's steadfast, it's unmovable. It is God's Word, and that is what I put my hat on and I trust. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then verse 9 says this, "Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with" what? Grace. There's many teachings that'll teach us, "We're saved by grace, preacher, but you got to do this. We're saved by grace, but you better do this. We're saved by..." And I heard that a lot in my life. And I was so confused, thinking, is the cross not enough? Is Jesus not enough? Was the sacrifice not enough? Do I have to add one thing to what Christ has already done? No, I don't. Not if I believe the Word. Now, we have our own understanding on things, and some people still want to hang on to doing enough to get in. I can't do enough to get in. Gordon can't do enough to get in. Ashley can't do enough to get in. But Jesus did. He did enough to get in because He was not born of sinful man. He was conceived separately by the Holy Spirit inside the womb of Mary. He was not contaminated with fallen man. That's what makes Him the perfect sacrifice for sins. Be established with grace. He goes on to say, don't be established with meats which have not purified them that have been occupied therein. Back in this culture, he's talking about the ceremonial things, religious rituals they went through to be clean or to be holy. And we know this in the Jewish ways, a lot of it was about ceremonial things, washing their hands. Yes, we know that you need to wash your hands, right? But not to go to heaven. Just not to go to heaven now. And so we wash our hands. And all these ceremonial things that they were going through, and the author's reminding them, remember where your faith is at. It's not in the meat you eat or don't eat. It's not in the wine you drink or don't drink. It's not in the church you go to or don't go to. It's not in anything that you do. Your covenant is in the faith of Jesus Christ and what he did for you. Hang on to that. Trust that, because that's not going to change. We see denominations change. Even in our own church at Living Word, we've evolved. You know, we started out in a fire department, right, which is a handful of people, breaking down equipment each and every week. Then we evolved to buying land. We paid it off, built this building, paid it off, built another building. We're going to get it paid off, hopefully, soon. We've seen people come and go through the doors. We have seen things change in our own church culture. You know, music changes, style changes, dress code changes. We got pastors now that preach like they're out of a GQ magazine. That's not me. I'm a little old-timey, a little old-fashioned. I don't look GQ from the head to the feet in no kind of way. But that's okay. If they want to do that, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. It's okay. That's them. We have seen an evolution of things happen. We've seen things change in the church world. We've seen things change in the work world. We've seen things change. I was thinking back to my parents in 1970. Even in my generation as a kid, you know, we didn't have any computers in the home. We didn't have internet or Wi-Fi. You know, video game systems that are so popular now, that came out when I was, you know, in the 80s really is when that really came out. Some came out earlier, but it didn't get popular in the 80s when everybody started getting the video game systems. You know, things have changed. And there are some that don't want to change. There's some of you that don't like computers, and you will never like computers. They are the enemy. And you'll do it the old-fashioned way. And that's nothing wrong with that. See, I'm a type of guy, I still like holding a newspaper in my hand. Melanie will scroll on internet for hours. She can do it for hours and read all these articles. I can't do that on a screen. I'd rather have a book or a paper in my hand. I just like the physical part of having that to be able to read. I like that. I'm old-fashioned. I write my stuff out with pen. I don't usually use Word document or type on my computer. Some pastors are so professional, they type everything out on their computer and they got it all typed out pretty with headlines and outlines. You know, I mean, here's my notes. I mean, you know, that's how professional I am, okay? But it's my way, and it works for me. I know what my writing says. I know what my little codes mean. I know what that means. I don't have to have a, and that's why I get off. I know some of you are like, Pastor, you need an outline, because sometimes, man, you get outside the lines. That's okay. God brings me back in. Y'all help remind me what I was talking about, so y'all bring me back in. It's okay. Bible is speaking clearly to trust Jesus and his covenant, because that doesn't change. Things in the world change, but he doesn't change. Look at Revelations chapter 1. We're going to read a few verses in Revelations chapter 1. It says, this of course was John that wrote this on the Isle of Patmos. And he writes these words in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He washed us because he loves us. And here's the great thing about God's love. It ain't like our love. No matter how in love you are, no matter how in love my parents are after 50 years, there are things that my mom or dad could do to each other that would alter how they feel about each other. There are things you can do as a couple that would alter how you feel about each other. There's things your kids can do that alter how you feel about them sometimes. You love them, but you're like, the conditions have changed now a little bit. Aren't you glad the conditions that God made with us haven't changed? Because we do mess up and we do fail, but he keeps on loving us. You know why? Because this love doesn't run out. This love doesn't change. This love is the same. Every other love changes. You may love your job for the first 3 weeks. Right? First 2 months, first year, then all of a sudden it ain't like it was. You may love that car until you found out that you bought a Jeep. Sorry, Nick. He knows. And you're like, man, I always wanted a Jeep. I told you a story. I had a Jeep for 6 years. I always wanted a Jeep, never had one. Finally got one. Jeep Cherokee, 2005,
four, I think mine was, Jeep Cherokee. Pretty. It was gray. It looked nice. It was pretty. I looked good in it. It was nice. But you know what? I spent a lot of money on that Jeep. And all of a sudden, I didn't love that Jeep as much as I did when I first got it. Because every time I went to the garage, it was $250, $240, $230, $350, $400, $300, $200. And all of a sudden, I didn't like that Jeep so much, right? You know, 25, 30 years ago, I had more hair, and I was a lot slimmer. So I look in the mirror now, and I'm like, I don't love how I look as much as I used to. You know, things in life and the way we feel about things change. I'm glad God does it. Someone yesterday I was talking to said, you know, said when all this gets back to where things are a little bit more regular, said I like the social distancing thing. I'm okay keeping that going. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the same and doesn't change and doesn't say, I'm going to love you from afar from now on? No, I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to kiss your neck and hold your hand and be whatever. If I got to carry you up stone mountains, excuse me, if I got to carry you up those steps, I will carry you. I'm thankful his love doesn't change. He loved us unto death. Verse 6 says he loved us so much. Look what he did in verse 6. He hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are going to reign with him. We are going to rule and reign and be in the presence of God, worshiping with him forevermore. That's not going to change. No coronavirus or no bankruptcy or no stock market or no overseas war or no gasoline crisis or nothing in this world, nothing, no killer hornets in the state of Oregon or whatever that's at, nothing is going to change that we have been washed by his blood and that we are loved forevermore and that we are going to be kings and princes unto God, worshiping around his throne for eternity. There is nothing going to stop the wheels of that from going forward. There is nothing going to alter that because he doesn't change when the world does. You know, I remember as a kid growing up in a very different time spiritually, and many of you my age bracket do. A time where there were tent revivals, a time where you had week, 2 week long revivals and meetings, a time where, you know, people were in church all week long. And that time has changed. We don't have that anymore. I understand that. That time has changed as far as that. But the power of God hasn't. And his saving grace is the same. And his holy power is the same. And his Holy Spirit is the same. And his healing touch is the same. And his miracle working is the same. And the words that come out of ministers' mouths can still be the same word that came out 50 years ago, declaring the power of a holy God to change and transform our lives. He doesn't change. You know, the one credit that Billy Graham, I think, really deserves for all the years of ministry he did, and I know he didn't maybe teach on a lot of deep topics. He didn't go into a lot of deep revelation. I don't either. The one thing Billy Graham was, he was consistent with his message for all of those years. He stayed on course preaching the grace of a risen Savior. He preached on the saving grace of the blood of Jesus. And he stayed that course and he kept the message the same decade after decade after decade all over the world. He didn't change it when he went to different countries. He didn't go over to France and preach a different message. He didn't go to Africa and preach a different message. Everywhere he went, and he drew hundreds of thousands of times, millions of people would come to his services, and he would preach the same thing, the grace of Jesus Christ, the gospel, because though the world changed when Billy Graham started, you know, in the late 40s to when he died, it changed drastically. You know, there were no more big tent revivals, but he kept preaching and kept ministering and kept traveling and kept doing what God called him to do because God hadn't changed. And the word hasn't changed. And his grace hasn't changed. And his love hasn't changed. Though the world is changing. And though the world is trying to force us to change. I'm glad God doesn't change. And that I can count on God when everything else fails. I can count on him. Verse 7, John says this. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail, weep because of him. Even so,
Amen. And then verse 8 is where I really want to mark on this morning. He says himself, Jesus, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I've always been. I'll always be. I was there in the beginning. I'm here today, and I'll be there tomorrow. I was there with Adam and Noah. I was there with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I was there with Billy Graham. And I'm here with you at Living Word in 2020. Every generation, every season, every time period, I am the same. I was, I am, and I always will be. And though the world may shift, I will not. Though the world may change, I will not. I'm still on the very throne that I've always been on. I'm still called not just King of the Jews, but King of the world and King of the universe and King of all people. Hallelujah. I'm not changing. Man, I trust that. And I'm so thankful that when I talk to God, I still hear the same voice I can always hear. I can feel the same touch I've always felt. I can't let the world around me dictate and shape the spiritual encounter I have with Him, because it doesn't matter. I can still go in my closet and feel the very same God I felt times before. I can hear His voice like I did times before. I can experience Him like I did times before. Though the culture doesn't maybe lead us that way as much, He's my leader. The Lord is my shepherd, not the church. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And all the days of my life, I will dwell with the house of the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Because He doesn't change. And I'm so thankful He doesn't change. My parents have done devotionals their whole lives. I saw as a kid growing up, we would have devotions at night, every single night. We would pray together as a family in the living room every night. I grew up with that. And my parents to this day still have devotionals together every single night. For 50 years they've done that. For 50 years. Because their God's not changed. Dad's hair is a little bit grayer. Mom's a little bit frailer than she was at 40 years old. But their God's not changed. Maybe can't walk quite as fast. Maybe can't work quite as hard. Got to have these, which I do too. And I'm way younger. But you know what? With all of that being changed in their physical, natural lives, God's not changed. Their God's not changed. Your God's not changed. He is the same. And we need to hold on to that like never before, as the world is trying to shape us into something they want us to be, that we say, you know what? I want to be what God shaped me to be. And that's who I trust, and that's who I believe. I don't think I have a scripture up here. I meant to add it, but this is John 14. I want to read this morning. Jesus said these words, "Let not your heart be troubled." Why are we so troubled? He just said, don't be troubled. I mean, everybody has got such fear. I got fussed at the other day. I got fussed at twice. Two different food lines. That really made me mad. I called and complained to the manager I knew. I called. I said, you know what your employee just told me? She said, we'll handle it. I'm going out the door at one of the food lines a few weeks ago, right? And they got enter only. Big arrow. Flash, 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 right? Exit only. Flash, flash, flash. I cannot possibly get sick by going the wrong way, right? Okay, so I'm going out the door one day at a food line, and the little lady watching it says, "Sir, you're going out the wrong way." And I was already like halfway out, and I kind of mumbled my breath. Really? I'm the only one walking out the door right now. I mean, nobody's coming. Okay, whatever. She said, "Can't you read?" Oh, no, she didn't. Hold my beer. I went back. And I told her, I said, "You just really said that to me? I'm sorry, sir. I shouldn't have said, I'm sorry. So I call. I knew the manager. Said what he said. Said, "James, they text me back. We handled it. I'm sorry." Can't you read? We're taking this that serious? You're going to insult a customer? Then I'm going down the aisle of food line one day. Now they got arrows, you know, doing that too. If you want Benny Wayne, you got to go 3 hours back and come back backwards and cut around a cul-de-sac and go around a dead end to get back to Benny Wayne. Anyway, so I'm going. And I'm not touching nobody. We're meeting down the aisle. I mean, they're wide enough. I ain't that wide, okay? I'm wider than I was, but I ain't that wide. And so I'm going down the aisle, and when I went by, this woman under her breath went, going the wrong way. I really started to say, look, if you're this scared to be in the store, just stay home. I'm not touching you. I didn't cough on you. I didn't breathe on you. I didn't even look at you because you didn't look good. So I'm just walking by. But this is the world we're living in, right? This is the world we're living in right now. And I'm just so thankful God doesn't say, wrong way. You know, or he doesn't say, you know, fuss at me or jump. God loves me. And God is faithful to me. And God knows I'm going the wrong way. He helps me. He doesn't, you know, condemn me. He helps me. But we're living in a world that's just changing. And so, you know, we're seeing it everywhere. And we're just seeing people it's crazy, you know. And you realize the ones that are wearing gloves, let's just throw this out there, that are touching everything, unless you change them after every transaction, does no good. None. Unless you change gloves at a drive-thru, they're taking your debit card, right? They're taking the next person's debit card and the next person's debit card, and they're touching money. Unless you change after every transaction, it doesn't do any good. Remember that song by Jeff Steinberg, The Glove? Oh, what a beautiful song, wasn't it? Whew. The Glove. God's my glove. And God is my mask. The angels, I trust God to protect me. And you know what? It's like me and Melanie talked about one day. Church, we all, unless the Lord returns to take us home and change us, we don't like hearing this, but we all want to go one day off the earth, one way or the other. You going to be carried off or you going to be carried up. But one way or the other, we're going to leave. And me and Melanie talked about this. How long are we going to allow our lives to be in fear and not live? I mean, how long will we let this go on to where we live in bondage? If the news tells us a year from now it's still not safe, are we going to spend the next year in captivity? I'm just saying, we need to think about some things. Trust the Lord. He doesn't change. The world changes, the news changes, the media changes, but God don't change. And if God says, I'll be with you always, he's with me always. If I believe God's my protector yesterday, he's my protector. He knew this was coming. He's still my protector. This COVID-19 virus don't catch God off guard. All this shutdown don't catch God off guard. The Dow Jones plunging, losing, you know, 50% or whatever don't catch God off guard. God's my provider. God's my protector. God's my healer. God's my savior. I am sealed by the power of God. And if I can't trust him now, I can't trust him ever, church. If I can't trust him in the dark times, how can I possibly praise him when the light is shining bright? If I can't praise him in the valley when fear's all around, how can I possibly praise him when nothing is around? David praised God in the middle of his giant. He didn't praise God when he wasn't away from him. He was standing right there and told Goliath, I'm not afraid of you. It's not me fighting you. It's God's going to take you down. In the name of the Lord, you're going to go down. Hallelujah. Easy to have faith when there's no virus. Easy to have faith when the Dow Jones broke 30,000 points. Man, I even pulled out like, woo, I got a little money in my RA. Hallelujah. I ain't checked it since. I told Bill that. I know better. I ain't going to check it. I'll be sad. I don't want to be sad. I want to be glad. And I know God can shoot that thing right back up and God can break. Because see, my source and everything that I have is not attached to what man can do for me. It's attached to what God can do for me. My God, Philippians 4:19, shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Not mine, not the government, not the world, not my job, but him. God can supernaturally provide for you if you will trust him. Man, I only got past the fourth or fifth word. Okay, let not your heart be troubled. Sorry about that. Don't let it be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. God has got my place prepared. It's a done deal. It's not contract pending. It's not under construction. It's done. It's finished. There is a place that when my eyes close here, they will open to the place that God has specifically prepared for me to walk into because of the blood of Jesus. So going back to what I was saying, man, we're talking about, we're going to go one way or the other. Something takes everybody out except Elijah went by a whirlwind and Enoch was translated and Jesus rose from the dead. And Lazarus rose but then died again. So all of us are going to go some way. Why do we live our lives in fear if we trust the Lord? We don't stop driving down the highway. You know how many close calls we have in our life of getting hit? You know how many close calls we've had of wrecking? We don't stop driving. You know, Home Depot and Lowe's, man, Hobby Lobby, Food Line, Walmart, Target, Costco, Sam's Club, BJ's. Man, they've been rolling. They're rolling. We don't stop going to the store. We don't stop living because of fear. And if we know that God doesn't change, and if God has promised we're his child and we're covered, you know when you got a car and you got collision, that's a good feeling, right? See, I don't have collision on my cars. It's old and high miles. It ain't worth it. But man, when you got collision on your car, you can drive it feeling a little bit safer, can't you? Because if you get pow-wowed right in the side, they'll fix it. You know why? You're covered. You're covered. The worst feeling is when you get hit and you're not covered. Then it's all on you. We are covered by God. We are covered by his blood. We're covered in every season, every storm, no matter what we're battling, we're covered. And I want people's ears to hear this word and understand you've got to trust the Lord. We talk about faith all the time. We talk about God all the time. We tell others in Walmart, I'll be praying for you, but we're scared of our minds for our own life. You either trust God when it's hard to, or you really can't trust him at all. And I choose to trust God in these times. And I have trusted God to provide for me and Melanie during this time. I've trusted God to keep the church moving forward. I've trusted God to keep things happening. I've trusted God to keep our family well and to keep us from being sick. I've trusted God. And you know what? It's worked out all of my life. And I'm not going to stop trusting him because things come against me. No, I'm not. He says, if I go prepare a place for you, which he did, look what he's going to do. I will come again and receive you unto myself. Hallelujah. That where I am, there you will be also. God's coming back for me. He saved me. He called me. And there's going to be a day I see my Savior face to face, no matter what takes me home. No matter what that is. I've never seen such a moment of fear in this country as I've seen the last 2 months in my lifetime. Fear. I've got folks that don't know whether to shake your hand or stay away from you. I've got folks that don't know whether to get this far or this far. Because of fear. Because of fear. Fear does not come from God. Fear comes from the enemy. And when he can keep you operating in fear, guess what you're not operating in? Faith. Because you can't do both. Our church sign, Shirley come change it out for us yesterday. And one side says, faith over fear. Faith over fear. I choose that. What if David had stood before the giant and the giant says, I got COVID-19. You gonna shake my hand now? What if the lion says, I got COVID-19. You gonna still lay your head on me now? These men we read about and women of God who did miraculous things. You know, I think about the woman with the issue of blood. It's a very powerful story of faith. You got to understand the culture we're talking about here. The culture. She'd been battling 12 years with a sickness nobody could make whole. She could not get well. Doctors couldn't fix her. Money couldn't buy her healing. Here she was, a woman in a man's culture. A real man's culture back then. Women were second-class citizens. And she was bleeding. She was sick. She had a blood condition. She was considered unclean to be out in public. She would have definitely had a mask and gloves in that day to come out of the house. She heard Jesus coming by. And she says, if I can just touch Jesus, maybe there's hope. She pressed her way through all of these people, being unclean, ceremonially and spiritually, really unclean in the eyes of the Jews, and being a woman, pressing her way through and touched the hem of his garment, touched him. And Jesus turned around, and because she did that, her faith made her whole. She pressed through the fear of, what if they talk about me? What if they stare at me? What will they say about me? She was more focused on getting her healing than she was worried about what anybody said about her. She had to overcome her fear to leave the house, to even press through. We see examples like this all throughout the Bible where faith overcame fear, and you can't operate in both. And I'm thankful that my God doesn't change, and because of that, I can trust him. The world changes, he doesn't. Politicians change, he doesn't. Family units can change, he doesn't. We change out our cars, our homes, our jobs, all that, but God keeps on being steadfast and unshakable, unmovable. He's the same God he's always been. And I am so thankful that the same God that saved me in 1980, I was saved in 1980. That's been 40 years ago. Wow. Whew. Can't believe it's been 40 years. Not how Moses felt. 40 years. The same God that saved me in 1980, that I felt his spirit in my little boy's heart calling me to that altar, is the same, very same God that calls us today. We can still feel that sensitive pull of the Holy Spirit today. We can still feel his draw today. He's not changed because the culture has changed. It doesn't matter that just 40% of Americans go to church on a regular basis. It doesn't matter that many people are, even right now, there's a lot of people flacking the churches even open, even with this new order. People, I've seen all kinds of comments, you know, churches are money hungry, they shouldn't be open, da da da. Man, really? We're fighting a spiritual battle here. We are fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. What the world don't understand to the true people that love God and love the local church is how important the church is to them. It does mean something. The church is important to God's people, and it has an impact. You know, Nancy Rose and Sherry's here today, and they were so excited to come back in the doors. They haven't been here in 2 months. And they walk back in the doors, and they're home where they belong. It's important to us. People want to minimize the local church. They want to minimize coming together. They want to minimize people. I've seen all kinds of comments. The church is not about the building. It's about the people. Of course it is. Of course the church is us. We know that. But my Lord, really? The Bible is clear from Old New Testament how important it is that we have a place of worship. Well, they met in house in the New Testament. You want to come to your house and meet? I'd be glad to. Let's take 100 people and let's go to your house. We'll meet right there in your living room. Let's go. The point is they still had a place to meet. And then later they begin to build church buildings and places of worship because the crowds got too big to meet in one little house or several houses. There's always been a meeting place, and it's important for people to have that meeting place. And I'm thankful that the local church and God's intention of it as well has not changed. The purpose of the local church is that we come together to worship corporately, to encourage one another, to support the church financially, to support each other emotionally, to love each other, to be there for each other, corporately. There's something about that that makes a difference. That's why none of you would want to go to a rock concert with five people in a stadium. None of you want to go to Time Warner Arena, okay? And they got whoever. I'll use my generation. Bon Jovi's performing, okay? Bon Jovi's down at Time Warner Arena, and there's five people that show up. You're looking around the hole, and there's five of y'all. 20 of y'all. Well, that is true. You definitely have a lot of social distancing there, but it's kind of hard to get all fired up with five people singing Living on a Prayer. But man, when 20,000 people are singing that song, you know what you're doing? You are living on a prayer. I mean, you are there because 20,000, we've been to Winter Jam before, all the Christian bands come together, and there is nothing like 20,000 people singing together, "How Great Is Our God," or something. There's nothing greater than that, hearing all the voices singing together. So, of course, being together matters. We go to places to be together. We go to a restaurant because we want to be out among people. We go to a ball game because we want to be with the fans. We go places to be with people. So, anyway, that's all I got to say about that. He don't change, and that's the good news. He don't change. As the things around us are changing, we don't know what the next couple months is going to look like or the rest of the year is going to look like. I've even heard people talking about school may not start this year. I mean, I don't know what we're thinking. Church, we got to get to a point that we trust God in crisis or we don't. We trust him or we don't. I seen a Facebook post today of a little boy drinking out of a horse trough. He's in overalls. And it says, this is why country boys are strong. Oh, that's why country boys have strong immune systems. He's drinking out of a horse trough. You know? You ever drink out of a water hose as a kid? Best water in the world, wasn't it? Probably it's frozen where you live most of the time, but in Michigan. But man, water hoses, oh, it's great. Out playing backyard football or basketball, you hit that water hose. Of course, my dad, if you're watching Dad, I didn't use your hose much. I know how you are about the water bill. So I used it when you wasn't home. But we'd be in the backyard, and I'd turn that water on, and that was some of the best water, that cold water hose water. Now we got to have pure, alkaline-free, 100%, $5 a bottle, purified water. That's all that I will drink is that water. Smart water. Yeah. Okay. Who's a smart one paying $5 for a bottle of water? I don't know. I'm just saying. You can get out your kitchen sink free. That's all I'm saying. You got well water, right? You drink your well water? Well water, man. That's the good stuff. Anyway, as the old saying, I survived as a kid. Me and Rodney rode back of pickup trucks, drunk out of water hoses, right? Jumped off bicycle ramps with no helmet and no knee pads, no goggles, and no bubble wrapped around me. I can't possibly get hurt. Oh, I got skinned up all the time, and I loved it. I had boo-boos all over me. That's part of being a kid, man. I'd come home dirty and nasty, holes in my jeans, smelling like I've been outside all day, because I was. That's okay. Man, what a life that was. What a life that was. Rode my bike to my neighbor's house, played till it was dark, no cell phone. Mom couldn't get a hold of me. My friend, man, Peggy's son, she got a whistle with his kids. So if she wanted Travis home, she'd blow a whistle. You hear that whistle all over the neighborhood? Woo! We'd be out playing basketball with Travis. Well, I got to go. Mom's calling. Had a whistle, man. That was so cool. Oh, good times, y'all. I know I'm off topic. That's why I need an outline, right? Okay, we'll close out. Sing your old song, Marjorie, that one you got, God of California, that one. That'd be a good song to close out on because God doesn't change. It says that, right? God doesn't change in that song. This is a good song. It's an oldie. If you haven't heard it, it's a good one. It's called, He's Still God? God is God. God is God and God don't change. Perfect song for this. I'm going to have her sing that in the closing. And just a good little song.
He's God on the platform. He's God back by the door. He's God in the amen corner.
Y'all stand up and sing it with us.
He's God all over the floor.
I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God
is God. Jesus is his name. He's God over cancer and sickness of any kind.
That's not all.
He's God over COVID. He heals body, soul, and mind.
I know God is God.
God don't ever change. I know God. Lightning flashes, it's God when the thunder rolls. He's God way up in heaven.
He's God down in my soul. I know God is God.
God don't ever change. I know God is God. Jesus is his name. He's God in the Father.
He's God in the Son. He's God in the Holy Ghost.
He's God all three in one.
I know God is God.
God don't ever change. I know God is God. Jesus is his name. He's God in California. He's God in Tennessee.
He's God in New York City.
He's the God of you and me.
Yes.
I know God. children. He's God of Abraham. He's God of the fiery furnace. He's God the great I am.
Yes, I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God.
Jesus is his name. He's God that gave us Jesus. He's God that brought us out. He's God that rules in heaven. He's the God that makes me shout.
I know God. Yes.
God don't ever change. I know God is God. Jesus is his name. He's God that healed my body. He's God that saved my soul.
Yes.
He's filled me with the Holy Ghost. He's God that makes me whole.
I know God. Amen. Yes. Good song. Thank you, Marjorie.
Okay. Don't know, but let's pray for her. I know Elizabeth, of course. She's my cousin. Robert's my uncle. So let's pray for her right now. Father, we pray for Robert right now, Lord. We don't know what he's facing. Don't know what's happening tomorrow, but you do. He's in your hands, God, and we trust that. And God, we pray you watch over him tomorrow, whatever procedure he is having, and give the doctors and all the medical team around him the skill and the knowledge and the understanding to accomplish the task before them. That you give Robert peace, Lord, beginning right now. That you flood him with a peace that passeth all understanding, that he will just lean on you, God, and you will bring him out whole and well in Jesus' name. Amen.